The reading today is taken from Matthew 27, verse 57, through to Matthew 28, verse 15. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. No need to panic. I am indeed here, and I am alive and well. And Jesus is alive. Amen. Yeah. I'm glad that it's Jesus that's getting the rounds of applause. But actually, I was trying to count this morning, and I think this is my 7th or 8th Easter as an ordained minister in the Church of England. And my very first Easter, I remember when I was a curate, a junior vicar. I was working in Nottingham, where I trained, and we didn't have a sunrise service, but we had quite a lot of large churches in the town, and all of our services were at 10:30 or 11 a.m., so we actually had a 9 o'clock service in the town square where we all gathered together. And the different church groups took it in turns each year to lead that service. And my very first Easter, it just happened to be the turn of the Salvation Army. And the person who was leading the Salvation Army at that time was a Welsh gentleman called Captain Marcus. And Captain Marcus was a wonderful man of God, but I have to say, when I saw the 700 people there gathered, and our quite faulty PA system that was meant for indoors being set up outdoors, I did think to myself, as a new vicar, how on earth is he going to rally everybody and get their attention? Because rightly so, on Easter morning, there was an excitement amongst this large group of Christians. And what Captain Marcus did in his wonderful Welsh accent, which I won't try and do, as everyone was chatting, not looking at him, he went and took the microphone and he simply declared like this, "Friends!" And then there was a bit of a silence and they looked at him. And then he shouted again, "Friends!" And then everybody looked and was quiet. And he said, "We are here because Jesus is alive. Because Jesus is alive." And then there was silence, a little pause, and then I'm delighted to say they did exactly what you just did. They all burst out in rapturous applause because of that truth, that if we hear nothing else of the Christian message, that Jesus is alive. Because Jesus is alive. I should really step down now. That's all we need to hear, isn't it, on Easter Sunday. And the applause goes to Christ, because that is indeed the most awesome news that we could ever hear. And if we not only hear the news, but believe it, it will not only be life-changing, but it is, of course, the source of eternal life. That Jesus has conquered death and is alive. And as we look at the resurrection from Matthew's account this morning, we see the contrasting of two things: simply hearing the news of Jesus and his message and choosing not to believe it, and those that hear it and believe it. Because Matthew's account of the resurrection largely has two groups that we've just heard: the Pharisees, who had actually crucified Jesus, and their guards, who had heard what Jesus had said. They were very worried there that the message of resurrection would get out, but they did not believe that it would actually happen. And then we have the women who came to the tomb simply to look, and when they came looking to expecting death and to see death, they found life. We began our reading today with the burial of Jesus in verse 57. There we read of Joseph of Arimathea's request to give Jesus a proper burial. And he requests that from Pilate. Jesus has been placed in a tomb and he has rolled a large stone over the entrance. Now Joseph, we have been told, was a member of the Sanhedrin, the very group of priests that had condemned Jesus only a chapter before. But here we are now told that Joseph had become a follower of Jesus. And we know from elsewhere that he had kept that secret. Here, with his request, it tells us two things. That means that we can be certain, in Matthew's recount here, that Jesus actually was dead. First, Pilate was willing to give the body over to him. The Romans, through crucifixion, were very, very good at killing people. So we know that Pilate wouldn't have given the body to Joseph unless he was certain that Jesus was indeed dead. And then the Pharisees themselves, Joseph is now making it public, "I was a follower of this man Jesus, and I want to give him a burial that has dignity." The fact that the Pharisees don't care about that shows that they too now know and believe that Jesus is in fact dead. The news that Joseph, one of their own, was following him, well, that doesn't matter now. Follow him all you want, because we've killed him. So then, knowing though what that would mean, actually, if he really was dead, what if his friends got hold of the body? This is confirmed for us by that worry by what the Pharisees go on to do. But before we get to the Pharisees, notice what Matthew points out to us. In verse 61, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, are simply sat watching the tomb, looking on. What must they have been feeling at this point? The two Marys, his mother and his friend, who were with him at the very end at the cross, now still here looking on at the tomb. Mary Magdalene there for his entire earthly ministry. Mary, his mother, there for his entire earthly life. They had loved him and listened to him. But had they remembered everything that Jesus had said? Had they remembered how he had said that this seemingly most final thing actually wouldn't be the final thing? The final thing of death. And that the burial and the large stone physically seeing Jesus off from them, would they remember what Jesus had said would then happen? Because those that had killed him, they had listened, but not believed. In verses 62 through 64, we come to the Pharisees and their worry at any seeming resurrection. Again, telling us that Jesus was dead. The Pharisees had heard what he had said. They'd listened, and they had heard him say plainly that after 3 days he would rise again. Heard but not believed, and convinced that Jesus' followers would attempt to steal the body and claim that he is risen. They attempt to do all that is humanly possible to make sure that that doesn't happen. And even in Jesus' death, they are still hurling insults at him, calling him a deceiver. We read in verses 65 to 66. "Well then," Pilate said, "take a guard. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guards, doing all humanly possible, even a seal that in the time of the Roman Empire was actually the sign of the most guard that could be put on a tomb. And out of all of the gospel accounts of the resurrection, I think Matthew's is my favorite because of what is going to shortly happen. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they went again to the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Now remember what we have just heard. Pilate, in agreement with the Pharisees, has sent the guards to secure and strengthen the tomb as best as is possible, the best that humans can offer at least, the best guards and the most authority by sealing it, all the strength and guardedness that the human authorities could come up with. And then as this chapter begins, we are told once again for the second time that Mary and Mary had come to the tomb simply to look. Now that's the second time Matthew has told us that. Why has he included this? Why were they looking? Well, they have already been witness to the stone being rolled over to the entrance of the tomb, knowing that Jesus is definitely dead within it. Now they are going to see the stone rolled away, not so Jesus can get out, but so that the women and we will know that it was empty. If Jesus' resurrection cannot be contained by death itself, then a stone most certainly isn't going to contain him. And then this is the bit that I really love. Coming down from heaven via an earthquake, an angel appears. And for all that sign of strength and guard that the authorities had put on it, the angel casually rolls away the stone. And then what did he do? Sat on it. That's what the authority and power of humanity has against the power of heaven. Simply and casually rolled away and sits on it. Appearance like lightning and clothes as white as snow. It was no wonder that these poor guards, thinking that they had done enough to contain the body of Jesus, were afraid. They saw what the power of heaven was like, and they were understandably afraid and became like dead men. But that sign of power would be nothing to the news that the angel was about to share with these two women who were looking on. And then it should be no surprise to us that the first words that the angel speaks to these women, we've actually said this quite a lot in our preaching recently at Christ Church St. Andrews, because they are the most common and often stated words of angels or God to mankind, said 366 times in the Bible. Remember, one for every day of the year, and for this year, 2024, when we have a leap year. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And again, as we've mentioned recently, the world's number one fear, with Christians excluded in the world today, is what? It is still death itself. But when we understand what is happening in this passage, when we understand what Jesus has done, there is no need to be afraid. The Pharisees and the guards Pilate sent did not understand. When they saw the angel, they were afraid, and then they became the embodiment of what the world says. Those Pharisees, they did not understand. They did not understand what was happening, and therefore, they were afraid. And actually, then they became the embodiment of what the world says we should fear the most. We're told in the passage there that they became like dead men in verse 4. But when we come to know Jesus for ourselves and simply do as the women, when we come and seek Jesus to look upon him, we will not find fear and death. We will only find joy and life. Then verses 5 and 6, the angel speaks to the women. Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Hallelujah. The Pharisees had listened, but they had not believed, worried that the disciples may attempt to steal the body and claim that he had done so. Never did they entertain the idea that Jesus would actually do exactly what he said he would do, that he would rise again. And for all the times that we may have heard the Easter story, heard about the cross and the resurrection, perhaps you've actually never quite arrived at that point. What if it is actually true? Well, the women in our Bible passage set us a wonderful example. Remember, at the burial of Jesus, they had simply come to look. Now, when this has just happened, and now an angel has sat on the stone, what were they doing? Again, they had simply come to look. When you come seeking after Jesus, when you come simply to inquire and look, you will find that the cross of Christ is empty. Because that place, the cross, that is the worst kind of death that humanity could come up with, has become for us the source of all life. The best life that you could possibly lead when you come and seek Jesus, because it is the life that you were made to have. And whereas the Pharisees had listened but not believed, the women had believed but perhaps not fully listened to what Jesus had said. Because after this wonderful news that the angel brings, what does he then say? Just like he said he would do. Do you not remember he said he would do this? Jesus did everything that he said he would. He has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. And then an interesting line. Now I have told you. And to make sure that they have definitely listened this time, if it wasn't enough just for the angel to tell them, who should they then come across as they run back to tell the disciples to go and meet Jesus in Galilee? But they encounter the risen Jesus himself. Verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, collapsed at his feet, and worshipped him. And what does Jesus then say to them? There's been a repetition all the way through this part of Matthew's account of the resurrection. So it should be no surprise again that the first word Jesus says to them, he greets them, greetings, do not be afraid. There is nothing now to fear when you come to Jesus, have a real encounter with him, and you realize that the ultimate fear itself of death is defeated. And he again says, go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have wanted to stay there with Jesus. He's alive. But as followers of Jesus, they delight to obey him and do as he says. And over the next 40 days, he goes on to appear to over 500 people so that they and we can be in no doubt that Jesus is alive. When we come to inquire of Jesus, not only listen to his words, but seek to look upon him, just as these women did, we will encounter the living Christ. And when we look to Christ, when we look to Jesus, new life happens. Whether we've heard the story of Jesus' resurrection time and time again, but perhaps struggled to believe it, whether you've encountered Jesus for yourself many years ago, and are here today after many years of following him. Whether you've been here in this church for a little while, listening for some time, but perhaps you are still afraid to take a closer look, knowing that actually you might just find that there is someone there. The fact today and every day remains the same, and you can't change this fact, however you may feel, that Jesus Christ is alive. That Jesus is alive. Amen.